We never call it distance learning because it can be, but it doesn't have to be. As soon as I saw, it's not distance learning. I'm thinking, that's not what this is.
Let's talk about the name of the podcast for a moment. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Why Distance Learning, the podcast for educators who are engaged with live virtual learning experiences, whether they be content providers who produce and facilitate or educators who want to complement their curriculum and learn more about the medium. We interview content providers, industry professionals, field experts, and educators who love and use virtual learning. And today we have Jen Sayer from Fairfield County ESC in Ohio. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. And Jen is also a listener. Just want to throw that out there.
That is true.
Tammy, could you introduce Jen, please?
I would be happy to. So Jen Sayer is the Director of Apply Technology at Fairfield County ESC, spearheading the Innovato EDU program in which she provides quality matters aligned online courses for various educational institutions. With over 20 years of experience in both teaching and leadership at Hilliard City School District, she developed a vast number of online courses and contributed significantly to online education best practices. Her expertise extends to in-classroom instruction, online course development, online teaching, and leadership. Jen played a crucial role in establishing the Hilliard Online Academy and has been honored with prestigious awards for her contributions to education. She is also a recognized authority in online education quality standards in Ohio, serving as the lead for Quality Matters in Ohio.
Wow. Quality does indeed matter, I would say. And yes, although I am tempted to talk about at least one of the things that we talked about before we started recording here, which included true crime podcasts, frogging, look it up, starts with a PH, in addition to our commutes that we, the elements of our commutes that we miss now that we work from home. Let's just jump into the work, I think, instead. And, you know, one of the things that you said before we started recording here was that you exist in order to provide high quality learning experiences. And I'd love to hear from you. What is a high quality learning experience online?
Well, it is one that is affordable for school districts or for anyone really who's looking to provide an online learning environment, one that's affordable and accessible and engaging. And accessible has lots of different meanings to it. I think we may get into a question later about that where I can break that down, but it's really just about something where I always give the example when I'm presenting about when you develop an online course, you need to think about when you walk into a building, you know what a door is, you know what a hallway is, you know what a chair is, you know, you don't think about those things, you just go. Oh, look, there's a water fountain. I know what that's for. And then, oh, am I thirsty? No, I'm not. I don't need the water fountain. You know, those types of things. You just do those because we're used to the way that a building is designed and what those tools are for us to get into a building and to navigate a building. And an online course needs to be that way. It needs to be set up so that the learner goes in and knows intuitively where to go. And so anything that's quality online learning is going to be so intuitive that a learner isn't thinking about, well, what is this thing in front of me? How do I open this? Or, you know, they shouldn't be thinking about those things. They should just be going and then getting to whatever it is that they're engaging with.
And so with Innovato EDU, which you guys create and distribute to schools, not just in Ohio, but outside of Ohio as well, right?
We're working on that part.
We're working on that. Okay.
Yeah, we're working on that. We're still young. We're still pretty young. So we're working on getting a strong footing in Ohio first because we're developed by all Ohio teachers. But our long-term goals are to get outside of Ohio.
Got it. Okay. Yes. And I know that we've talked a lot about where you plan to go. You know, I met you in Ohio. When I learned about Innovato EDU, I just thought it was a super innovative program. And I'd love for you to just tell us a little bit about what it is and how it reaches some of those goals that you outlined there of what a quality online learning experience looks like.
Sure. So Innovato EDU is an online catalog of courses for students in grade 6 through 12. It is new, as I mentioned. I joined the Fairfield County ESC in the fall of 2021. I was part of the mass exodus from school districts across the country after that COVID year. But I came here because I had an opportunity and a lot of knowledge, as Tammy was kind enough to read my bio, of online learning and what it takes to develop quality online learning. And I had an opportunity to come here, and Innovato EDU didn't exist at the time. But our superintendent here, Dr. Marie Ward, is incredibly innovative. And she saw the need to create something that was higher quality, was affordable, provided personalization, and just increased those educational options and access for all students. And so I met her, and I had the knowledge and the experience, and she had the ability to get a grant to fund it. And so I came and joined this team, and we started developing courses. I hired all teachers from Ohio. They're all current teachers from all over the state of Ohio. And this was something they did, as they all joke with me, it's their side gig, making a little extra money, but to develop the catalog of courses. So we have general education courses, credit recovery courses, honors courses, electives. And we were able, that the end of the first year of having live courses, which our first year of offering live courses to districts was that 22-23 school year. Okay. So it feels like I've been here for
it's a lot of work.
A decade, but it really hasn't. Like, I'm just kind of wrapping up like my third, you know, we're teachers, we speak in school years. So my third year here, I'm in the spring of my third year here. But so last year was our first year of actually offering online courses, and we were able to get the NCAA accreditation in that spring, which is a big deal.
Yay!
That's congrats. Like writing a dissertation, but I was excited to get that. We are the lead for Quality Matters in Ohio, so everything we've done is aligned with that. But you know, having those courses developed by Ohio teachers, you know, kind of homegrown, having that the NCAA accreditation, the Quality Matters accreditation, like having that kind of gives that stamp of approval, you know, that we do know what we're doing, what we're talking about. So we have these courses that are available for districts to use for whatever they need them for. You know, one of the things I hope we can talk about today is really a lot of districts start in online learning because of credit recovery needs, and they have a hard time thinking outside of that. So we have districts that use it for lots of other reasons, but you know, there's still like, that's usually what gets people in the door with online, or gets districts in the door online, is, well, we need to solve this problem of credit recovery. And this is a true problem that districts have to solve. They need an option that works for those students. But they also need to really think beyond that, because online courses provide that flexibility that meets the needs of all kinds of students and all kinds of reasons, not just because they, you know, they've happened to have failed a course. So, you know, my role with Innovato, my title is, as Tammy mentioned, is Director of Applied Technology, but my role is really to lead teams. So I have developed all the training with teams of teachers. I've brought teachers in who have experience with online course development, with online teaching, and I lead through the development. I also lead any partnerships. We have a growing area of partnerships with organizations who have heard, kind of like Seth, like you saw me present about our program, and they've heard about it and they're like, this is great, but we don't need ninth grade courses. We need, you know, these kind of courses. So we've partnered with the University of Cincinnati, with Hocking College. We've got new partnerships with Career Tech to try to continue to grow those offerings for students and make sure that, you know, like for example, our partnership with the University of Cincinnati is with their early IT program. They want to have more College Credit Plus and dual enrollment options. And the courses that were built for the college level students is not developmentally appropriate for high school students. Mm-hmm. So we have that knowledge of high school students. So working with those partnerships, and then, you know, really kind of leading the teams to support the partners, that the school districts that we have that do use the courses. And so I've got many incredible people. Just, I mean, I can't speak enough of the teams, because we have so many. In such a short amount of time, we're growing so quickly, and we have, every time I turn around, there's like a new path we're on, which is so exciting, but there's no way I couldn't do all this by myself. So just really what I would say is my my big role is just to lead teams of people that are doing incredible work and making sure that we continue to be able to say that we are doing what's best for kids.
Wow. So much there. Oh my gosh. I have like 19 more questions now.
Yeah. I'm so excited. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody ever said that I speak in tweets.
The first thing I want to get into, like you were talking about, like how the generally the access point for people is credit recovery. That jives with a lot of what we know about live virtual learning, where people yes. really lean into experiences that you could not otherwise have,
right.
things that are only possible via distance learning. Yet something that we talk a lot about here are sort of the things on the edges of that, right? Where it's not necessarily something that like you couldn't possibly have this, but it is accentuated or it is delivered to more people or it's got a new diverse perspective that would not have been part of the experience if not for distance learning. And you talked a little bit about other people, non-credit recoverers, who can be benefited by having having online learning. Sorry, we always talk right. about live virtual learning.
I know.
So can you talk a little bit about who those students are? And if you can, like, illustrate it, if you have like a story for us, we ask about golden moments, right? If there's a yeah. story of like a, like, wow, like this student found this content in this way, and that was a time when I just knew that this is the work. This is what I needed to be doing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The first thing. Let me say this. When I was looking over and preparing for this, and some of the questions, you know, you've used the term distance learning. We never call it that because it doesn't always have to be distance. You know, you can use online courses as a supplement to a classroom environment to flip your classroom, you know, do blended learning and stuff. So we never call it distance learning because it can be, and it gives a lot of options for students who are distant, but it doesn't have to be. And so I like to think about just it, online learning being a tool no matter what the environment is. So I'll start with that.
Yeah.
There was something as soon as I saw, distance, let's not distance learning. You know, I'm thinking that's not what this is.
Let's talk about the name of the podcast.
I'm like, blended learning, yes. Call the models out.
I mean, yeah. just this idea, like if not now, I mean, when should we ever be thinking about rethinking time and space in education? You know, I mean, I could spend the rest of the podcast talking about why we need to be rethinking time and space, both financially and staff-wise and flexibility, and students and parents saw opportunity during COVID, regardless of COVID was not online learning. COVID was, you know, emergence of learning. It was different. But what it did was it opened up people's eyes to flexible options. People who never, I mean, it's not that they didn't want it. They just never crossed their mind, right? They didn't think about it. And so this is the time when we really need to be rethinking time and space in education. We have staffing issues, sub issues. We have tons of busing issues in the district I live in. You know, why are we continuing to try to fit into this model that is old? It doesn't work, and we just don't have the systems in place anymore to support it. So it doesn't. Rethinking time and space. Let me tell you a couple of, because I did have some time to think about these like golden moments, and you know, there's a lot of them. But the ones that come to the mind are the flashy ones, right? And really what they all have in common is this opportunity of pursuing dreams, right? So most of the time, district administrators, teachers, you know, it's you know, you're working with every kid. Every kid's different. And when you're in the moment, you're there and you're getting to know kids. But, you know, each year, right, you start with a new set of kids. And then year after year, if you get as old as I am, like, you don't even remember half the kids, right? They don't remember you. You don't remember them. But in the moment, you're there. So in general, you know, doing this to make those in the moment opportunities for personalizations as easy as possible, not only for students, but for teachers, so that they can spend that time engaging. I mean, that's why we're doing it. But those stories where somebody was able to pursue a passion, like, we're not talking like my passion is to, you know, sleep in, right? And so I don't want to have first and second period because I want to sleep in. We're not talking about that. We're talking about like, I want to be a professional Irish dancer and I want to travel the world. And I'm good enough that I have the opportunity to travel the world as an Irish dancer. And if it wasn't for the flexibility of those online courses, I couldn't do that. I couldn't graduate from high school and do that. So, you know, we've had the professional Irish, that was fun. That was a fun one because they put that stuff up online all the time. And so you can see the kids and really what they're out there doing. They're in Ireland. I mean, they're all over the world. We've had professional hockey player. That was one of our very earliest stories when I was in Hilliard was, he was a professional hockey player and he was in high school and he continued to play for years after that. I mean, that was kind of our first experience, but my favorite one, which is just because it's so unique, was a professional Elvis impersonator. Yes. Professional Elvis impersonator. Oh, I loved that one. And when he would come in, when he was in town, he would come into the building and meet with some of his students. And it was like, Elvis is in the building. I mean, it was awesome. And he had such a great person. He has a great personality, but he looks like Elvis. So he walks in and you're like, well, of course you're a professional Elvis impersonator, but traveling the country as an Elvis impersonator. So those just, you know, having those stories, but you know, where people really, and I know there's plenty more that I just either don't remember or, you know, they weren't brought to my attention. But I mean, you've always got your stories about your students that just have stuff, you know, they just have stuff going on. I mean, they have family things going on, they have health things going on, you know, and being able to look at a student, look at a parent and say, we've got an option. So you can go do that. You can go be a professional Elvis impersonator, or you can deal with what you got going on, you know, that are bigger life things, you know, like there's parents dying suddenly and teenagers having to grow up real fast and take care of siblings. I mean, you've always got those kinds of stories and those are the ones that warm your heart in the moment, you know? But just whatever the kids need, whatever the students need that flexibility for, I love that I'm a part of making that an easy button for your guidance counselor who has to put the puzzle of a schedule together, an administrator who has to figure out how do I get this kid to graduate on time. I love being part of that.
I'm really inspired by the idea of the credit, being able to use the space, the different opportunities to finish different credits, whether that's for their degree or the opportunity to learn something, a trade, an opportunity to do something right out of high school if they're interested or just get those credit hours or exposure. I also think it's great to hear you as a leader talk a lot about your community, not just the community that you brought in to build up all of these offerings and the different perspectives that you've obviously brought to the table because educators are so eclectic in so many ways and also focused in a lot of different areas. But also it's like real how you think about your community, the community of those that will be using the experience, I think really shows how powerful your online. It explains why so much is growing so fast. And I know that you talked a little bit about your new partnership with the Career Tech, and I wonder if we could learn a little bit more about what that will look like in helping just with some of the initiatives that you've already started and just kind of where that will grow, where you hope that to grow.
So that's a real fun partnership. I mean, I don't know how much you have experience working with career tech schools, but they talk about flash and flare, man. They're exciting. They do some really like tweetable stuff, you know, here's a cool picture. Like people say, do you have photos of what are you doing? Of me on a computer? No, not really. Like I don't have a lot of pictures. It's not very exciting. Here's me on a laptop. Here's somebody else on the laptop. They do some really, really cool stuff. So yeah, I'm super excited about, I mean, we have a current partnership with one career tech right now. And they use our courses for credit recovery and just for some flexibility within their scheduling. But we also partnered with them to develop career tech. So career tech courses, they were one of the partners that was like, we love this and we need this, but we also need these things and you don't have these kind of courses. So that partnership came because it's hard to it's hard to find people who have the knowledge that you need to develop electives, really, you know, career specific electives. And so you've got these teachers that want to rethink time and space for their an administration that wants to kind of rethink the whole design of the school day. You know, for students, for industry partners, they don't want to be, they don't want, you know, you're going, I want you on the job site like now.
Right.
I don't need you on the job site at 2 o'clock every day. I don't need you on the job site at noon or at 11. By then we've already, you know, had our morning meetings. We know what we're doing. Everybody's out. So the industry partners that work with these career techs, they need the kids there all day. And so, you know, this idea of really, okay, well, they still have to get those high school credits. They still need these to meet these requirements that the state of Ohio or whatever state says that they need. So when they're in a career tech course, can they do some of that base level instruction online and maybe only come to class 2 days a week and be, you know, be doing that as like a flipped classroom, be when they're in the building doing that hands-on work, and then also have the time to be able to get out into the industry and actually do the work in a real environment. So having the partnerships with those career techs, not only so that they can make sure they're meeting those graduation requirements of students in an easy quality way, but also to help them learn how they can take their own content and rethink time and space as well. So we're the partnerships that we have with Career Tech, the idea is to lead them through that process of developing quality courses. Everybody knows coming out of COVID, you got a whole group of educators who think they now know how to teach online and they don't, you know, and they think that dropping a PDF and here's a Dropbox that that's instruction and it's not. And it's every team of the teachers that I've worked with. And just in my time here, I think I'm up to like 8 or 9 different teams of teachers, course developers. One of the first things I'm very big on collecting feedback, constantly collecting feedback. And, you know, one of the things that I hear often is, man, I learned so much that I can redo what I'm doing in the classroom now. I've just learned so much about the needs of how you need to develop an online lesson. I never thought about that, you know, and it's not rocket science. You know, you get in, stand in front of a classroom, you don't just hand out a piece of paper and say, all right, I'll be back in an hour. You know, you say, this is what we're going to do today. And here's what you're going to need. And, you know, like all that kind of like pre-learning, teachers do that naturally. But when they build lessons online or put content online, they forget that part, you know? So it's walking them through that experience and really training them in all those, you know, ADA compliance and DEI and all that stuff, training them in all those different areas so that it just opens their eyes to things. Like I said, it's not rocket science. It's just opening their eyes to things is really allowing them to become better teachers when they are in the classroom and to really think about the opportunities that are available by having these sorts of tools like online courses.
Yeah. And I think that's so exciting to hear you say about the idea of that, you know, they're the same teacher. This is kind of another tool in a way that they can kind of use as they need to, when they need to. And I think that idea of like the flipped classroom and talking about the career tech, it is amazing if you can be in a school where you can get that hands-on experience. But like you said, that credit course, how does that look? And it is interesting when I went to your website and was just checking everything out and checking you out, of course, that I saw a lot about the idea of you talking about that high quality having to do with that SEL component, that ADA component, and the DEI component. And to your point that you just were saying, this is just techniques that you can bring to any learning environment. Online is great, but as you mentioned, that online experience could be happening in the classroom with learners in a completely traditional experience, just like you said, in that blended or flipped model. So I wonder if there's anything you could share, or I know that you do amazing training, so we'll have all the links to everything that you know, where people can learn more from you, but anything that you think are some of those like top golden, promising practices that you like to share.
Yeah, we do train all of our development teams and all of our partner development teams. So there's a balance between what you fully train people on when they're going to be doing that work and what you give them enough information that they understand the why but you don't necessarily need to get into all the weeds of it, because if you have a, like we created an instructional framework for everything. And so all of that is designed to kind of keep the guardrails up as far as ADA compliance goes and web accessibility. It's already embedded within how we build things. So we do, you need to be able, if you're on one of our development teams, you know what ADA is. You know, ADA, not, you know, here's a ramp into a building, but ADA as far as online goes,
you know
what web accessibility is, but you don't have to be an expert in that because, you know, we've kind of set that up for you. The DEI and the SEL piece, though, is different. Like, you do need to train people and you need to show them that it's not as challenging as you think to embed those things. It's just like being aware of it, you know, and being purposeful with it. You know, with SEL tools, I mean, if you think about how, if you walk into a classroom and someone says, which, you know, is great. I don't mean to disrespect in any way professionals like psychologists and counselors and stuff, because we were just talking this morning in a meeting about, you know, teachers were just told, okay, you got to embed SEL now and everything. And we're not really trained, you know, you're not really prepared for that. Now, a large percent of the kids, what a teacher can do as far as providing SEL support is probably fine, you know, because we're human beings and we did grow up and we went to school and, you know, we have that life experience. And that's really what I'm talking about is kind of your just general, the things that you do in a classroom where you ask students to reflect on things or to give their opinions about things. Like, those are easy to embed within the online environment. And it's just not something that teachers think about. You know, if you're giving a prompt for a short answer question or a discussion post or something, and you're trying to assess a standard, you know, a history standard, let's say, well, just add in that component. Like, is there anything in your life that connects with this? Or what do you think about this? How does this make you feel? Those are ways for students to, and it's a lot of it, you know, they're not really conscious of it, but they're answering the question. One, it helps a lot with cheating and, you know, plagiarism. If you just build those questions in, you can't Google that. How do I feel about this? Yeah. You know, hopefully Google says, I don't know how you feel. Think about it.
I'm sure ChatGPT has an answer for that.
But yeah. It helps with that, but it also, you know, not only for the students to feel like, well, again, subconsciously has somebody cares what I think about something, you know, they're sharing those feelings, but it also gives opportunities for the teachers to get to know those students and to engage in those kind of conversations. And they do this in the classroom and they don't think about it in law. Well, here's the standard. You tell me about this, you know, whatever I need to assess for this history standard. And so embedding those within it. And then, you know, as far as DEI goes, that's probably one of the easiest things to include is just being reflective of what you're including. You know, are you representing everybody in the pictures you're including and the videos that you're including? You know, are you making sure that students see themselves in the content? And that is not hard to do. You know, we're talking a basic level of this stuff, but it's not hard to do. It's just, you just have to be aware of it. So we spend time training teachers on areas where they need to know enough to be able to answer a question. And it's really about the why, so that when they're building something, if we say, okay, we need to do it this way, and we say because of ADA compliance, they're like, oh, okay. And they don't question it if it's different than how they might have naturally done it. Whereas the DEI and SEL piece, that's part of the development. So, you know, we're not going to come up with this now. And it does help to say for our leads that support our developers, you know, if they're looking at something like, you know, there's a really easy way to just add some diversity into what you have here for your story problems or for the whatever you're choosing to have them read, you know, or the picture that you're including. And again, because we've gone through that training, your developers are like, oh, like I just didn't think, you know, and then they start to think about it. The more they're kind of reminded and reminded and reminded, then they start to think about it.
It's interesting hearing you talk about this, because it sounds like to a certain extent, there is like creating a quality online course is simply an exercise of like remembering what good education is. Right. Right. Like let's
well,
just
there's a lot to remember. There really, yeah, oh, I mean, sure. There's a lot to remember.
Yeah. Yeah. But what it made me think about though, is that like, I've said for a long time that, part of what happened during the pandemic is that people took what they were doing in the classroom and they just tried to put it online. And we talk about, especially with live virtual learning, that there is something new and different available here. And if you lean into the medium, then you're creating something that is a unique learning experience. And so it's this whole other tool in your repertoire, regardless of everything else that you use. But that idea that like, you just need to remember what good education is and then figure out how to do that online. I'm wondering if that's the same for online learning or not. Specifically, if it's like, are you simply trying to get a best approximation of what good learning in the classroom looks like? Or are there things about online learning that are special and unique to the medium that you're trying to lean into?
Well, that's a question. My first response goes back to say that it's not replicating what's in the classroom. When I'm first introducing people to the concept of developing online courses, I have to say over and over that these, like, we develop courses to align to standards, not to align to seat time, which I was too. I mean, I taught in the classroom for a decade. You know, you're so aligned. I've got 50 minutes to fill. And this is what will take 50 minutes. And so teachers are naturally lean toward developing to seat time. And if you developed to what you think as a teacher to seat time in an online class, you would bury a student. You would bury them because what you can lead a class through in 50 minutes, the general rule, and I don't even know where this came from, if I maybe pulled it out of the air somewhere years ago, but the general rules takes 2.5 times what, if you Google it, you're probably not going to find it, but 2.5 times is what I always tell people for a student to complete on their own, to truly complete it. If they actually go through and read it and stuff, then it wouldn't in the classroom. So 50 minutes in the classroom, you know, you're looking at 2.5 hours or two hours, 15 minutes, 2.5 hours to complete. So if you think about a teacher building something that would take 50 minutes in a classroom, it's going to take a student 2.5 hours to complete on their own. Like they're never going to make it through. It's going to be too heavy for them. So you're not looking to just replicate what you're doing in the classroom. You're looking at the best practices of the classroom, and you're trying to keep in mind all of those pieces that we say, remember your training, you know, the ADA, the DEI, the engagement, all, and there's a lot more training than just ADA and DEI. You want to do all those things and remember all of those things, but you're not just repeating what you do in a classroom because it's different. And the other thing is that in the classroom, it's hard and it's very time consuming for teachers to differentiate. They should be doing it. And a lot of teachers do it, and elementary school teachers are rock stars at it. But once you get up into middle and high school, it's hard to truly differentiate. And when you're building it online, you can do that as part of the course development, and then it's there. And so as far as replicating what's done in the classroom, should every classroom, every day, every period have differentiation? Absolutely. Does it? No, because they're human beings and it takes a lot of time to do that. So being able to have a tool where you can easily have it set up to differentiate for you, I think can make an online learning environment a lot more powerful than what a classroom can be environment, just because of the reality of time and space, and you're led by a human being at the front.
I am so happy to hear this because that is always what I find so challenging when I look at certain curriculum that's built, and it might just be one style, one experience that is that reading or that taking in of information, and then that responsibility of synthesizing what you are taking in is really left to you as the individual, or maybe that smaller group, if you're not in a blended, or if you're not in a larger consortium of remote learners. And I always think like that is where the conversation is so important in education. And sometimes that's just hearing someone's perspective on how that reading or that video made them feel. And again, there's that social and emotional experience that is just kind of organically built in. So it's just wonderful to hear you say more about like kind of just that, you know, what makes the experience more active as opposed to passive, regardless right. of what engagement method you might make. It's just how do you get them involved to want to go further? And I think that that's the important part is it's, you know, education and how you're going to be proactive with it is really about getting excited, you know, in a sense, getting excited about it. And that's what's really fun about working with teachers too, because if you excite a teacher, then you have the ability to excite like 30 students or 35 in one class or
right.
whomever you might be able to connect with.
Yeah. And what you said made me think of, I have another podcast. It's called Make It Mindful.
Yes.
And it's fun. Go check it out. But I interviewed someone named KK Nyman from World Savvy. And she had this line that I loved, which was rigor isn't about how much you work. It's about how much you think. And I feel like that's what you were speaking to right there, right? Like it's not about filling up seat time. And it's this theme of rethinking time and space that you've given us here today of like, you know, how do we think about that differently in regards to our learning objectives when we are untethered from the physical space, right? And time. It's awesome. We are dangerously approaching the limit of all the attention span of most teachers. So I do want to close with our titular question, which is why distance learning? But as we've talked about here and the lack of applicability of the word distance, we'll say why online learning? Jen Sayre.
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm gonna tell you my biggest reasons. The first one is that accessibility. And we talked about the word accessibility came up right in the beginning. And I said there's different ways to think about accessibility. I tend to lean toward the ADA compliance part, you know, and just making sure that no matter what type of learner you are, you have to develop courses that make those tools work. And not everything does. You know, throwing PDFs online does not make a read aloud tool work. So, you know, we have all of our courses, we have the accessibility tool built in, which, you know, is when you have an LMS, that's usually an extra add-on. And some vendors will only allow that to be used if a student has an IEP because it costs them per use. But we have that available for every single student, every single teacher. So making sure that you have that accessibility for all students, and then it's available for everybody. That's really important. But also accessibility as far as like geography goes. You know, where are you? And our ESC serves a lot of rural school districts. School districts that just don't have the capacity to offer a variety of courses. They don't have as many teachers. So making sure that we can have those different types of opportunities to learn to kids no matter where they are. And not just because maybe they're in a city or they're in a larger suburban school district that can afford it. You know, you can live in a rural environment and a rural school district and still have access to things. So accessibility, I think, in both geography and in design is the first and foremost, because I think that hits most kids. But the second one is just that, which kind of connects to accessibility, but it's just about that meeting the needs of diverse learners. Online learning gives you an opportunity, not only within the content that you're providing, but in the assessment. You know, when you can put text and video and multimedia and interactive simulations and hit all those different types of ways to present content that differentiates and meets. Okay, maybe I'm fine reading, but I don't feel like reading right now. I want to watch this video, or maybe I'm not fine reading and I need to watch the video, or I need an audio clip. Like I can choose the way to get that content on what fits me as a learner. But then the differentiation of the assessments, which again is something that a lot of teachers think that that's a very heavy lift for them to develop that, but it's often not. You know, if you present students with content in a variety of ways. And then here's the standard that I need to assess and give them voice and choice in how they do it. That doesn't really require you as a teacher to build seven different things. Maybe they record a video of themselves answering it versus writing an essay. Like, what standard are you trying to assess? Could they engage in a discussion? Do they take, maybe kids like the traditional kind of quiz, immediate feedback, you know, could they do that? You know, could they create a multimedia presentation? Could they go out and make a collage? Like, just giving students that, here's a bunch of different options. I just need to know that you understand the standard as a teacher. So pick something. And if you pick it, and I'm like, maybe pick something else because I don't get it. You know, having the ability to just build that in and it's right there. Then the teachers are able to use that time to really get to know the students, whether they're in their classroom and you're using it as a supplement or whether they're online. They're not trying to think of the seven different ways to differentiate the assessment. It's already there. And so you're able to really get to students and get to learners and meet them right where they are in a very efficient and hopefully, you know, affordable manner.
Yeah, that's your wheelhouse. Hey, we threw you some curveballs today, and you've just been hitting home runs the whole time. It's
that's
great.
Good. That's good.
No, I'm like.
last question: where can we find you on the internet?
Well, if you go to our website innovatoedu.org, you can contact me through there. I do have a Twitter, but an X, I guess now, not Twitter anymore. But I'm not. I mean, you can reach me through there. I'm not super active on it. We post a lot of stuff on our Innovato EDU. We have Facebook, we have X, and we have LinkedIn. And so anything you see on there is going to be me posting it. But I am on LinkedIn and I am on X, and you can reach out, or you can just go to our website and contact me through there. I'm not that hard to find usually.
Well, we will be sure to have all those links in the show notes. Listeners, please do check those out. Thanks, Jen. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you again so much for having me.
If you'd like to support the podcast, please do share it with a friend, as Jen has, or leave us a rating or a review. You can check out more information about the podcast on cilc.org/podcast. Thank you to our editor, Lucas Salazar. And if you want to know the answer to the question, why distance learning, or in this case, why online learning, check out the people we highlight on this podcast. These are the people who are leveraging this amazing technology to truly transform the learning experience. Why online learning? Because it's accessible and it's awesome. See you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.